All right. I think we are live. I think we're back. All right. Welcome. I know there is pain. Hold on for one more day and you break free from the chains.
There we go.
A lot of issues. But hey, right now I got to fix. I still got problems on the screen, guys. I got
to fix. Now let's just go back to Discord and close this watch stream thing.
Yeah.
And you're good. We'll be back to normal.
It sucks.
That's all you need. So thanks for coming back. What happened was Fonz hit a couple of buttons and then we tried to come back to the stream and he was sharing a screen. So I could see all the pictures of his feet, but now we're back.
We're back,
Fonz. Where were we?
I think we're back. We're about to get into the first topic anyway. So you know what? I apologize, people, but stuff happens sometimes and it's been a cluster. Right before the show started. Every time Colt comes on, what it does is it switches us around and I've got to move some stuff. So audio was all out of whack. Everything was crazy, but it should be good. I think the audio should be good now too. And let me bring up, because I don't
We get brand new thumbs ups too, Fonz.
Yeah, yeah. If I mean, I
shout out to Lethal Papa in the chat.
I wouldn't Our blame these people Papa. For, you know, leaving some dislikes because of all this. Like, seriously, I would leave if I was in the chat and this was going on. I would just say dislike. I'm out of here. So unprofessional.
If it was me, I would have used that moment to take a bathroom break. So I think we're all right. Yeah. Zach says audio sounds great. Udonna Kuzada's here. Lethal Papa. We got, wait, why am I frozen?
Hey, you're just like I'm
frozen. I'll fix it. Just keep going.
These cameras do that from time to time. I don't know why they do that.
Yeah,
it's F chord. Yeah, you froze a few times. I think you're frozen again. I don't know.
No, I'm good.
Okay,
moving around. Okay. Yeah, that's kind of weird. But all right, well, we can still do the show. I mean,
all right,
hey, so we're one of those podcasts that's on camera, so stuff's gonna happen.
Stuff did happen. And I quit the show. I quit it right in the middle of it. And I'm about to quit again. I'm just going to quit.
You know, you're 7 minutes in. You're like, I can't do it anymore. Yeah.
I'm freaking done. Anyways, we were talking about the developers that have left Playground Games recently, right? And, dude, people are even putting out there the one of the lead guys that was... you know, working on Forts and stuff, how he left like last year and they're putting that out now again. And it's like, look, people come and go. When their work is done, a lot of these guys that are hired by Playground, by different studios are contractors. And once their work is done, they leave. Isn't that right, Cole?
Yeah.
So
I guess, I guess it's the norm.
I just found it pretty funny though, because some people were arguing about the situation. So, you know, Idle Sloth put out a tweet about it, right? And he was like, these are the people that left recently from Playground that were working on Fable. And, you know, there's no kind of announcement for the jobs that they were that these people were working. Like they didn't leave them open and somebody else come in and fill the job. And some guy on Twitter was like, that's a lie. And he's like showing like, job descriptions, because Fable, for some reason, Playground Games is still acquiring other people, right, to work on, other contractors, but they're not trying to get people on for these same specific jobs. And it's just funny, he's posting these other, you know, job openings that have nothing to do with these people that left. And I just found that hilarious. You know, Twitter, it's freaking crazy. That's how it is,
though. Yeah.
You know,
everyone is always worried about any type of change, you know, like when directors leave, sometimes it's bad news, but sometimes it's for the best. But as far as I could see for Playground is they were just regular people departing as they kind of finish up. And I would assume we're going to see a lot more of Fable and actually get a release window. I think Xbox just does these release years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you keep coming back on your video.
I shut my camera off and back on because it's Discord. It's not our internet or it's not you. It's not your program
Discord
or how you
run things.
Discord
is acting very Disney.
Discord's
today.
Being dumb.
It's terrible.
It's so Disney.
It's so freaking Disney today. I can't stand it. Honestly, I'm going to look into using something else because, again, Discord is just, it's like, doesn't make sense. I shouldn't even have to adjust Hargeet's audio or your audio. When I had my old program, it just worked. It leveled everything out for me. I didn't have it have to go up and down on things like that. It's just,
yeah. It's, we try to provide the best show possible for you guys, and Discord chokes our cameras down to 720p. I have a 4K camera, and I never get to show you guys what that looks like on live shows, except for on the end of my videos. So, but we're glad you guys are here.
Yeah,
and
yeah, you know what? I need to retweet this out because I tweeted out the old link earlier.
Oh yeah, I need to tweet out the new link as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll do
that.
So we're multitasking here.
We are live here now, guys. We are live. So, anyways. So, yeah, things happen. People come and go. Contractors get their work done, and they leave, just like any other kind of business out there, industry. It's just weird that people are putting so much emphasis on this right now. You know, I'm sure things are, you know, people always want to speculate and say, well, there must be problems going on at Fable. You know, there's things going on behind the scenes or whatever that's not good. But you know what? It'll be just fine. You know what isn't? So good, Colt. Industry analyst Daniel Ahmad is saying that based on equities research reports and data trackers, the Final Fantasy Rebirth, the new remaster, the second installment anyway, is only on pace to selling half of what the first remake did.
I declare.
So it's not doing very well. And I have to ask you, what do you think could be the issue here? What do you think is one of the reasons why, or some reason why, that this is just not doing as well as the first remake?
Well, the professional answer is that sequels don't tend to do as well as the one before.
However, this sequel, I can think of
700 examples when that's not true.
But here's the thing. This sequel is getting high marks. It's the Metascore is really
higher rated.
It's great for both journalists and for gamers. So what gives? Like, what's different? What's going on?
I think people were really excited. They must have been really excited to play Final Fantasy Remake, and then they play this 50 to 60 hour game, and then now here's like the next part of it, and maybe the interest has dropped off. But I think the main problem that Final Fantasy Remake as a series is seeing is that Final Fantasy is a big franchise, but I don't think Final Fantasy VII Remake would have happened at all if PlayStation wouldn't have money-hatted and funded the game. That's my take. And when you put the game out on only a PS5 right now for Rebirth, you have far less people to sell it to. It's exclusive to only the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Like, this is a big series. Like, you can't... 16 did not do well, and now they're saying it's under 16.
So, you know, I see Tara Ware in the comments say economy. Yeah, sure. Like, $70 for a game and stuff, it's kind of steep, especially right now with the economy, inflation, everything going on. However, other games are selling way better. I think one of the things that I had talked to you about that I think that is happening is there are people now that have gotten used to these subservices that we have, like Game Pass and PlayStation's own subservice.
Oh boy.
And I think some people are just kind of waiting for some of these exclusives to go into those services. I think that's one of the things that's happening now. People don't want to pay that $70 and they're just thinking, oh, this will come into the subservice eventually. Or maybe some people that would have normally bought it that also own a PC have just decided to wait for the PC version, since this version, you know, was having issues with the 60 frames, the performance issues that it's having with the blurriness and stuff like that. Maybe some people just want to wait there. But I do think that these subservices do kind of stop people from buying certain games. I do. And it's just, I don't know.
I mean, on PlayStation, it would be, I'm just going to wait for it to come to PS. N or
PS Plus, or whatever they call it, you know.
Ultimate. When you've got a major AAA release from a huge franchise like Final Fantasy, if you're going to wait for a PS Plus drop, you're going to wait.
Well,
2 years probably.
Maybe, but for the PC, you might not be waiting long. And a lot of people were speculating, since this is only a 3 month exclusivity for console only, that it may even drop sometime at the end of May or beginning of June, or, you know, sometime within the next 4 or 5 months. So maybe they're thinking, hey, we're going to get the game over here. I'm not going to buy it on the PlayStation 5 when they would typically buy it on the PlayStation 5. Because all they would have to wait is a few months. There's probably people out there doing that. I'm one of them. I'm one of them that looked at the performance issues and said, you know what? I'm going to wait for that when it comes to PC. So that's what I'm waiting for.
The first one launched on PS4 when they were at like 100 million consoles. Now they're only at 50 million consoles on the PS5. So you kind of have you lost half of your install base in console numbers, because it's only on 5, and then you have the sequel. I guess analysts are saying that sequels tend to have like a half drop off, but then I look at my favorite sequels and they're, you know, maybe they don't sell as good, but I would imagine Borderlands 2 and Mass Effect 2 sold way better than their first game. But yeah, I don't know.
Well, also somebody pointed out in the chat, shout out to Cord Wayner, says no PS4 support this time. The first one was on PS4, so
yes, that's what I'm saying. No PS4 support.
Yeah, that's a real big one. It's
massively huge.
It's massively huge. Yeah, I don't have it up right now, but I'll get it up. That sounded bad. Pause. Anyway, I'm just glad that they're making these remakes. I'm happy. I want to play it. I know you're not a big Final Fantasy fan. I want to play Rebirth. I'm going to wait for the PC version. But I'm definitely going to play that. It, you know, and it could just be down to that too. It could be that it's just PlayStation 5 only and PlayStation gamers aren't buying games.
Yeah.
Could be that, you know, it's just the way it is. Anyways, let's move on from that. Let's talk about this. This is kind of interesting, guys. Ex-Blizzard president Mike Ybarra said something that's kind of asinine, I'll say, in my opinion. I will preface it by saying this is my opinion. It's very asinine. He says
my opinion is different from yours, but
tipping game creators $10 or $20 on top of the $70 price tag is a great idea. That's what he says. How about tipping all of us gamers that essentially beta test the crap that gets put out? How about that, Mike? How about that? How about all that crap that Blizzard and everybody else has put out that isn't finished? How about we get that tip? How about we get a slight decrease in price? You know, how about we pay $50 or $40 for these games that aren't finished? That's what I have to say on that. It kind of infuriated me that he even said this. Now your take, Colt.
Well, I mean, my first reaction and my staying reaction to Mike's tweet was that he's saying sometimes games are so great you wish you could like send a tip to the devs, like, here's an extra $10, I got my money's worth, I love the game. But that money wouldn't go to the devs, like it would go to the publishers. All the money goes to the publishers when you buy games. And I saw his tweet as, man, don't you just love it when a game's so good you wish you could do more, you know, that you could just do something extra for the devs that made the game so amazing. That's all I got from his tweet. And then everyone jumped on the anger train of games cost too much money.
How many times would you say you've ever felt like that, chat? Have you ever felt like, man, this game is so good, I wish I could pay another $10 to $20 to these developers for this game? It's not often that you say that about a game, especially lately. There's been a lot of games that come out and you're kind of like, yeah, this is a great game and all. Then when you finish it, you get a lousy ending or something and you come away with a different feeling. I never in my life have I thought, man, I wish I could pay more for this. Like, That's not the consumer mindset to have.
Little Evil Gaming in the chat says tipping is so American. And when I was in Europe a couple weeks ago, it was really nice to not feel pressured and feel responsible or obligated to tip at everything you pay for. I picked up a pizza last night. I ordered it on my phone. They made it. I went up to the front counter and paid for it. And there's a thing, 10%, 15%, 20% tip or custom tip. And I'm like,
I get it if they provide you a certain service, right? But if it's just a deal where they make a product for you that they sell at a certain price, once you buy said product, that's it. There's no reason to tip. Now, if they
provided an extra
service for that, then I understand. You know, like, for instance, waiters and waitresses, you know, they come to your table, they're very attentive, you know, and they do things for you, then they deserve a tip. But I'm sorry, you know, providing me a game at a certain price that's pretty high, I don't think this looks good for him at all to say. Nobody is going to take this tweet what he said here and think, oh, that's right. That's a great idea. I wish I could tip. No, nobody's going to think that. We already pay too much for these games, in my opinion.
I know people are attacking him because he's a rich video game executive and that he could afford an extra 20. And if I play something like Mass Effect Trilogy Remaster that I love so much, I like cried 3 times while I was playing it. And you were like, do you ever think about tipping? That never crossed my mind. But, you know, we've been on our podcast where we talk about, man, these developers, sometimes they just put so much talent and love into the games. You know what
sometimes people do outside of that? Sometimes they'll buy a game again on another platform if they love it so much. There's nothing wrong with that. I've done that.
And the money goes to the publisher.
Unfortunately, goes directly to the publisher, right?
Yeah.
I get it. If you wanted to tip a certain thing, you know, a certain development team that really did something great for you, but lately it just doesn't seem like we're getting games that are high enough quality that earn that kind of thinking. I even just the thought process of a tip for a game right now, it's just like, I can't think of a single game that I've played in a long time where it's been finished or smooth or no issue at all. Like there hasn't been one in a long time, whether it be a crash here or there, something happening to the game, the game just not being finished. There's always been some issues. I don't know. I just think it's crazy talk to even start talking about tipping for these games right now. Yeah. It was just weird to me. And it was one of those things I wanted to bring up because a lot of people in the chat are kind of against it too. Like most of them are just like, no, I've never thought about tipping, you know, these people for these games when we're already paying $70 for them or $60 for them in previous generations. Like, come on.
Yeah, but what else could have Mike Ibarra said? How could he have said it differently?
He shouldn't have said it at all. Just nothing at all. He could have just sat there and say, guys, do you ever play a game that you just really love and just leave it at that?
But he said, like, if there was it doubled down, didn't he? That if it was optional, but yeah. And I'll side with a lot of you on the, if I was playing a game and at some point it's like, are you enjoying the game? Consider tipping Wet Blanket Studios. I'd be like, Red War Fight's going to clip that, by the way. He's going to put that in a tweet and quote Wet Blanket Studios. Wow. You know he will. He's so awesome. But, you know, if I saw that, I would be super annoyed. Like, come on. Did you hear that Roku wants to take the TCL TVs and give them a feature that when your game's paused, a static ad will sit up on the screen until you resume the game?
Shout out to Lotus Esprit. He says, sorry, I will always tip. Now, we're talking about tipping the games, you know, trying to tip the developers after, you know, you've already paid $70 for a game. You go to a restaurant or something, yeah, of course you tip, but like something like this, I don't know about this. But thank you very much for the super chat there, Lotus. It's awesome. I see it as a weird thing to even say. I don't know why he would have said this.
I do. I mean,
I don't see it.
I don't understand why people can't understand. Sometimes we say things on a show or we tweet things or we post things or you say something in a video out of like a positive passion. And I saw Mike Ibarra's tweet as, man, don't you ever just love a game so much you wish you could do more? And maybe he could have just left it at that. But
yeah.
I think Mike wrote that tweet and he was like, man, I'm around, you know, thousands and thousands of gamers in this community on Twitter. They're like in my circle that see my tweets, interact with me. And he's like, they all love games. Like, don't you just love a game so much you wish you could just give something back to the developers because they went the extra mile, made the game so great, and send, right? Those weren't his exact words. And then all of a sudden it turns into a, you know, like our good friend Onyx Alex is like, why would you want to further monetize? I can't remember what he said, but he zinged him pretty good. But I'm like, I just feel like Mike Ybarra had no poison with that tweet at all. And Mike Ybarra's, he can say something.
I don't know
like
about that because he works in,
against Xbox pretty hard for good reason. But
he works
I
in
just
an
saw
industry
that one
that
as a nice tweet.
I don't know because, I mean, I don't know Mike Ybarra personally, but I'll just say that he works in an industry where he's one of those top level guys that, mm-hmm. you know, does like money. And I mean, we all do, but at the end of the day, like he's working for an industry that is really out to try to squeeze every last bit out of us, especially that's what it seems like lately with all the microtransactions and stuff like that in games. And one of these things we're going to get into with the next topic, that is just crazy that they're doing now. And this whole thing about, hey, folks, will you pay $100 for games? Like, it's happening. It's freaking happening.
I know.
And it's ridiculous. And now to even talk about tipping, it's just like, it's gross. I don't like it. I don't like it. No, sir. Well, the horse on Ren and Stimpy. Remember that? No, sir.
No, sir. I don't like it. And I know it sounds, and I'm not arguing with you for the sake of arguing because I totally see where you're coming from. And
no, I hear you.
I thought he was trying to be like, hey, don't you just love it when you bite into your pizza and the cheese, you know, it's like, it's just,
but here's the, okay. Here's the thing. Let me expand on that though. Anytime I've ever sit there and ate something that was freaking really high quality and a great meal, wherever I'm at, I never thought to myself, gee, I wish I could pay more for this steak.
That's
never
true.
Have
that
I thought
so
about
true.
It. I'd never done that. I'd never played a game and go, man, I wish I could pay another $30 for this game.
I mean, you and I are very old, like, Fonz, and even back in the 90s, when things were probably comparatively way more inexpensive, like when I go to Red Robin and you get like, it's always a really great burger back in the day, right?
Yeah.
I never once thought, man, I wish I could pay more money for this burger, but you know, I guess what happens is when you have a good experience mm-hmm. at a restaurant, don't you love it when people do the food or their restaurant analogies with video games?
Have you tried the lasagna?
That's literally what it is. When you're having a good experience, your waiter, your waitress is really funny and they're on the spot. They're filling my Mountain Dew. Like,
that's different. They're providing a personal service. That's different. Yeah. This is not personal at all. These people are making a game for the mass audience.
Isn't that really
out there.
What tipping is supposed to be for? You're making a really good point.
Yes, tipping is for personal service. It's for something that is being done for you personally, and they have to work at that. Like these people just creating these games, it's on a mass production scale for the masses out there, for all the people out there to play this one game for $70, $80, whatever they're charging. And then to say, man, I wish I could tip them for this. I wish I could pay more money. It's like when you go to freaking, when you go to a store, they're doing this now, guys. I went to a grocery store and I checked out my own stuff and it asked me if I wanted to tip. And I'm like, tip who, me? Myself? Sure, I'd tip myself $100 for doing this, but you can't do that.
It shoots out money out of it.
It's crazy. What did you do for me? You provided a service for me to bag my own groceries?
Like, Mr. J says, tipping is optional, not mandatory. But in the States, as far as I know, it's become almost like obligatory and mandatory. The culture of it has gotten really out of hand. Enough to where people make fun of it. And to Mike Barr's credit, I wish there was a way for the developers to get more compensation when people really like a game. I think there's like a compensation if a game gets a certain high mark on Metacritic or they hit certain numbers in sales metrics, like they get a little bit of kickback that goes to the developing studio. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think you and I are probably pretty accurate about most of that money when a game does well and is well loved fills in the pockets of the publishers, because they're the ones that took on the investment for the game to be developed over the years. So yeah, it's a sucky situation either way you slice it.
Yeah, it does. It's
I still think Mikey Barrow is being a jerk. I just think he just thought he let that kind of cloud the way he wrote his excitement. And I've done that before and many times where
he put his
really
foot
excited
in his
about something and it comes
pretty
off
much that's
the wrong
what he
way.
Did. Yeah, he put his foot in his mouth and it's just it's not, yikes. Not a good look. Anyways, but let's move on to that next topic I was talking about, because we're gonna get really
it?
Gross here, guys. Really gross. We're gonna talk about Ubisoft's new Star Wars game, Star Wars Outlaws, coming to an Xbox Series X or PS5 near you. Yeah, August 30th. And Colt's gone. He said, I'm not listening to this. I want to play this game.
I'm just kidding. I was getting a bottle of water, but that's a perfect time for the segue for me to ditch out. I'm not having this conversation.
Here's the thing. So lots of controversy surrounding this whole game. Everything from like, oh, they made this actress ugly to, you know, because they took the model. If you look at the model of the protagonist in the game, she's a very pretty woman, okay, in real life. In the game, not so much. Like, her cheeks are really gaunt and, like, just, it's, you know, it she doesn't look right. Let's just say that. Not very appealing. I'll say that. You got that. And then you have the physical disc controversy, where they said, you're going to have to download the game even if you have the physical disc. And here's the one controversy that I'm like, not so up in arms about, Colt. And here's the thing. I know a lot of people out there will get mad and say, well, you know what? You always fight for the consumer, and this is a really consumer-based thing. And you know, if you have a physical disc, you shouldn't have to download anything. And yeah, technically, you're right. You're 100% right with that. But let me ask you this. When is the last time you bought a physical disc for, say, PlayStation or Xbox, and day one, you did not have to download a patch to play that game? When?
That's basically all I can remember is putting the disc in, and it's like, this game has an update.
Yep,
and you put it in. At least on the Xbox 360 and Xbox One, it said it says something like, you cannot play this game until you've got the update.
Yeah. I mean,
something like that, right?
Like, people.
I mean, that's important to the devs when they have a day one patch.
Yeah.
And they do not want you playing the game.
And why do they do this? And it opens up a whole freaking conversation, because this just goes towards the developers, again, whether or not they're pressed for time by the publisher or whatnot, the game isn't finished. The game isn't done. Like, they're scrambling to get things done. Even when they press that disc, it's already going out there to the masses, yet they've got to wait to have this day one patch implemented for people to be able to play the game the way it was intended. Or, you know, these games just aren't getting done on time. And I don't remember the last time when I did buy a disc. It's been a while since I have bought one where I've put it in and I didn't have to download a day one patch. Just, I don't remember.
Well, I mean, it's hard for us to say, because even if you were still buying physical games, you had to install the game, like rip it from the drive. And so it's kind of hard to know, like, what I don't even remember, because it was 2016 when I bought Titanfall 2 and Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah.
Those are my last physical games. I bought them the same week, same day. I don't remember if it would rip the game and then you'd go to play it and it would say, this game needs an update. I don't remember, or did it do it all at once, or is this game needs an update and then it would rip the game while it downloaded? I don't even remember, but it's been synonymous with how you play games, even if they're physical, and people saying, oh, you need an internet connection. Like, that's been a whole messy argument as well, that you have to be online so you can get that day one patch.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's what I'm getting at, is most of these games you're getting anyway, you're going to have to download that day one patch regardless. So therefore, even if you have the physical game, you're still online day one. What are you complaining about?
Yeah,
that's where I'm coming from. And it sucks because we can complain about the fact that we're just having to get online day one for a day one patch to begin with. But I think we've all settled with that. We've all become accustomed to it to the point where we don't complain about it anymore. We used to. I remember complaining about that many years ago. Why do we have to get online for a day one patch? We used to rant and rave about that. And it just went away. We got accustomed to it. And I guess I'm just accustomed to it so much that this problem or this controversy really isn't much of a controversy to me. It's like, you got to download a day one patch anyway. So
I mean, I get annoyed when I'm ready to play and it's like, this game needs an update.
Oh, but I know. It sucks.
It always fixes something that you're going to run into eventually. The problem with physical games is they go gold like a month before the game comes out. About a month, I think it is. It's like 3 weeks. Sometimes they are like, you remember hearing the devs say, they're doing patches and we are all hands on deck doing all of the patches and all the bug fixes up to the moment the game comes out.
Yep. And Z-Block writer in the chat is right. Most of these big games won't even fit on the disc anyway. So you're downloading portions of the game. Some of these discs aren't really even all on there anyway.
Yeah. Some really big games don't fit. So, I don't think Call of Duty fits on a disc.
So, I mean, and I'm all about game preservation and stuff, but at the end of the day, this just isn't one to really rant and rave about. It's just whatever. I'm sitting there online anyway, downloading a day one patch. What does it matter? Like, everything's going digital eventually anyway, people. Like, everybody holding on to the physical discs and stuff like that, it's going away. Like, that is going away. They're not ripping out all these physical games from stores for nothing. The store space is being allocated to other things now. Like, they're getting rid of physical discs. It's actively happening. I mean, Microsoft can say all they want that they're, you know, they're still going to do it as long as people demand it. Well, the demand is getting less and less, and that's the truth. That's the absolute truth. The demand for physical games is dying out. Biff Rinaldi, member for 16 months, says, I don't understand what the connection to physical is. When's the last time anybody bought a CD-ROM? PC has been all digital for like 10 years. It's been longer than that.
Yeah, it's been like 15, probably more.
It's probably been at least, I want to say 16, 17 years.
Yeah.
Because I remember like when WoW came out, what was that, 18, 19 years ago? How old is WoW? World of Warcraft.
WoW was like 02, 03, I think.
Yeah.
I remember that was
one of the last games like I bought like physically for a PC. So
my brother let me borrow Blade Runner on PC and it came on like six discs, like a whole accordion of CDs you had to install.
Espos 305, by the way, $9.99. Thank you very much for the super chat. Says, always good to watch both of you bring us good gaming news. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Colt appreciates you too, right, Colt? You better appreciate him, Colt.
Of course. Abdel says, WoW is 2004.
2004.
I'll never forget my friend came home with his tail between his legs because he flunked out of his university.
I remember. Because
he was kicking butt on WoW instead of going to school.
Oh, dude, the addiction of WoW is real. So I remember in 2004, I remember exactly when that day came. Because I wanted to do a Best Buy to buy something else. And I seen these freaking guys in a line just standing there. And I was like, what are all these nerds doing standing here? Because that's what they looked like, a bunch of nerds. And I'm like, what's going on? And, you know, not that I'm not a nerd. But anyways, there was many of us there. So I'm walking down and I asked one guy, I go, what's the line for? And they said, oh, World of Warcraft's coming out today. And I go, what's World of Warcraft? So you haven't heard, and you started talking to me about it. I was like, man, that sounds right up my alley. I've got a laptop at home. So I picked up a copy, got in line, bought one with the rest of the guys, and went home and hated it. Hated the game. I couldn't get into it. I didn't understand it. I was sitting there going, whatever. I'm killing these little things. Everybody's destroying stuff. I'm like, forget this game. And then I started reading more about it, and I go, well, let me try it. And then I was hooked. It was like a drug. It was like, hook me up, just put it right in my vein. And oh man, it was bad. It was really bad. But don't play WoW, kids. Don't play WoW. Just say no. Just say no.
Yep.
Anyways, I Colt's not talking about that because he can't relate to that game. He hasn't played
it. I've never played it. Yeah. I've never even really seen it.
Yeah.
I talked to three different people over the years that have ruined their life playing that game. And I'm like,
oh yeah. And almost for me too. Trust me. I had to totally just walk away from it. It was bad. Service, says most MMOs are addictive. Yeah. Yeah, they are. Final Fantasy,
except for Elder Scrolls, I haven't run into the addictive part of it yet, and I'm probably going to avoid that portion of the game. I'm just playing it like Skyrim.
My wife and I played Final Fantasy 14 a little bit for a while, and we didn't get addicted
back in the day, or recently
back in the day, and then we stopped playing. It was taking too much time, but you know, because the MMOs are just a time sink, whether you're addicted or not, just doing everything in there, just it takes time, and you got to have that time to play them. But anyways, let's move on, because we're talking about the Star Wars, you know, Outlaws game here, and
it took a way left turn.
So the last thing that they're really talking about here is the pricing of the game. So the pricing of the game is very awful. So you've got a $70 price tag for the regular edition of the game. Okay, whatever. Then you got $110 for the gold edition of the game. And I believe the gold edition, what does it come with? I think I have a image here that shows what it is.
People are really upset about this. And they're upset about this when this happens to a lot of games, when they have like a whole matrices of how you can buy the game.
I think it's got like a digital art book or something. And then you've got the Ultimate Edition for $130. It comes with that digital art book and stuff. But it also comes with, here's the kicker, and this is why games are some people are going to be paying over $100 for games. $130 to play 3 days early. You know, a lot of people are. You know, a lot of people are going to pay for that.
For the early access, yeah.
Yep, and that's a problem, Colt. That's a problem that the games industry is now doing this over and over. I know they did it for Starfield, but it's going to happen more and more with big games.
I mean, am I on the outside of this again? I see people get upset about this, and I'm like, okay, you have the vanilla game for regular price, and then you have all these extras if you want to spend more money and get access to more content. But you don't have to, unless FOMO rules your life, which sometimes it can, right?
Yeah, and it does for a lot of people, and a lot of people are going to pay that $130 to play this game 3 days early, and they know that.
That's a really dangerous thing to do. You don't even know if the game is going to be really good, or if it will, you know, have any problems to spend that kind of money. You know, sometimes it's good to wait. If you're a big Star Wars fan, the people who are going to spend that money, I think they normally do that because they feel like they want to experience it all. And then the 3 days early thing, like, my controversial opinion is, like, if people want to play the game early, let them. If they want to spend the extra money,
I'm not saying it's
worth it, let them do it.
I'm not telling people to do what they want to do with their own money. They can do that. You're right, Colt. I just think it's a gross practice that they're actually doing this more and more. So it's genius for the business. It's completely genius. Whoever thought of this up, you're a genius for doing this, because you are going to prey on FOMO. You are going to prey on those that suffer from FOMO. And there's a lot of people that do. And even myself, if I really want to play a specific game, I'm going to pay it to play it early if I really want to play that game. Luckily for me, this is not one of those games where I can't wait to play. I can definitely wait to play this one. But $130 is excessive for 3 days early.
Okay. All right, Fonz, Mr. Man of Value and Mr. Man of His Integrity. What would you do if Take-Two announced that you could play Grand Theft Auto 6 a week early for the $150 version?
You know what? I love Rockstar. They're my favorite developers, and it's a messed up thing if they were to do something like that, because I know a lot of people will pay. But for myself, $150 is really expensive, man. That's like two games right there. What are we doing? Like, that's expensive, man. $130 is almost two games. Like,
yeah, but it comes with Elder Scrolls Online, or it comes with the Grand Theft Auto Online. And
I'm more the campaign guy. And you get a week
early.
So I'm more of the campaign guy anyway. So like that.
So what online. Are you going to do if Grand Theft Auto 6 comes out for $70 and it's single player only? And if you want to buy the edition that comes with access to Grand Theft Auto Online, it's $100.
Yeah, it's messed up. But I think they're going to do something like that. I do.
I think they are too.
I think that's how they're going to piecemeal that game out. They're going to say, okay.
If they want to charge you $100 for Grand Theft Auto 6, they're going to do it by bundling in Grand Theft Auto Online access.
Probably. $70 for the base edition that gets you just the campaign, and then you spend $100 for the online and the campaign
and together. No, yeah. And no, they will not sell Grand Theft Auto Online for only $30. It'll be required to own the whole game. Yeah. I think that's what they're going to do. They already said that they think games should go up to 100.
But let me just go back to the point on just like Star Wars Outlaws, $130 for 3 days mm-hmm. early. Let me tell you something, people. I'll just put it straight out there. The game comes out that day. It doesn't come out 3 days later. That is the real launch date. They're just making you pay extra for it. That is what they're doing. It's a scam. It's a scam to tell you, oh, it's early. No, that is it's ready that day. You're scamming people. It's ridiculous. You're making others wait for $70. That's how I look at it. That's my viewpoint on this. You are making people wait for $70. It comes out 3 days early. That's just the way I see it. I don't see it the other way around. It's terrible practice. It's garbage when you think about it that way, in my opinion.
Yeah. What else do you get with the $130 version besides?
You get that. You get the. I couldn't find it. I had the picture up, and I don't know what I did with it, but I think you get the. You get the artwork, like digital artwork. You might, I don't know what that game comes with. Does it come with a steel book or something dumb? Anyway, it wasn't all that great. There was nothing awesome in there. It's not like you even get a statue or anything. It's just, I don't know. Shanti says we are all frogs in a pot. Danny Passion.
Yeah. Slowly boiling. Yeah.
Yeah. He says, let me push back. It's not a scam. It's called marketing strategy. Of course it's marketing, but you don't think marketing can be scammy? I do. It's scummy that they're doing this. It's a scammy thing, man. For a long time now, we've heard rumors, they want to charge us $100 for games. They want to charge more. And they found out a way to how to do it. And that's
now there's that report that on PlayStation, $70 games are actually repelling sales and bringing sales down. So something's got to give. I just look at all those editions like, do you want that? Like, Star Wars Outlaws is one of the games I'm most looking forward to from a multi-platform release that everybody can play. It's one of the games that I'm looking forward to the most out of multi-platform games.
It's a big open world game in the Star Wars universe. So yeah,
it looks really cool. It's like my type of thing.
Yeah, it catches my attention for the genre, but at the same time, it's like they don't have to go full scumbag.
Yeah, but this is how I look at it, Fonz. I'm really excited to play the game. Like, it looks like something I want, right? So I'm interested in it. But when I see the other tiers that are higher and more expensive, I'm like, nah, I'll just get the base game, and maybe I'll get the DLC down the road separately. But I probably won't. Or maybe I won't, maybe I will.
Yeah,
that's
okay,
it.
That's
like, I don't see that Matrix cheese and go, why are they doing this? They're ruining.
That's what it is. It's kind of like a battle pass they're selling with that $130 too. They're like, oh, well, there's going to be content down the road. You mean content that should be there day one? Because that's what a lot of these single player games do.
Yeah.
That's another tactic that they.
I mean, are you, Fonz, are you really, are you trying to speak for other people? Because sometimes I'm like, I can't always try and speak and take, you know, I want to, here's what one side are saying.
I can't.
Here's what the other side are saying. Sometimes I'm just like, you know what? Yeah. That doesn't bother me that much.
I do speak for others, but it does honestly bother me. It bothers me when I read $130 for 3 days early. That pisses me off. Because
yeah, but it also comes with other content as well.
It doesn't matter. It's content.
It's almost double the price.
It's content that should be there day one, chat. In my opinion.
Do a poll for your chat. Does the tiered system of price content for games bother you? Something like that. Yeah, I mean, I know I'm getting old, chat, as he writes that up, if he's going to do it. I know I'm getting old, but sometimes I'm like, I hear so many great, strong opinions on different sides from the community. And we're very fortunate to be able to run a podcast or channel where we can use our voice. It goes out to hundreds of people sometimes. And it's a really neat privilege to be able to talk about these things. But sometimes I have to kind of pick my battles, you know, like a parent does. You're going to have to pick your battles. What things are you going to get?
Of course.
Are you going to let bother you? And like our good friend, Onox Alex, like he fights the really good fight on anything that is anti-consumer and even down to the like microcosm of it. Right.
Yeah.
But and
that's exactly why I said earlier that I'm picking my battles here. The physical disc going online day one to download something. You're still going to download a day one patch anyway. It doesn't matter.
Oh yeah.
That's not one to really fight about. That's for me anyway. I'm just like, whatever
for you. Sure.
But this, to me, it's just the ultimate scummy thing that they've done. And when I really saw it was with Starfield, when they did the whole pay this much and get early access, it pissed me off. And now it's just like this continuing trend. And I'm sure Starfield wasn't the first to do it. I'm sure, you know, they weren't the first, but it was the first time that I really saw it and went, wait.
Ubisoft's done it a lot.
Yeah, this is weird.
There's some other prominent games that had these different versions that were not just Ubisoft that's been ticking people off. And
by the way, before this goes, Danny Passion Official, $2. Thank you very much, brother. He says all marketing strategies are a way to scam. Laugh out loud.
Sure.
Matt Houston, thank you for the 10. He says, hey, Fonz. Hey, Colt. Good to see you. Will Forza Horizon 6 be announced and possibly released this year? Colt, any insight?
I don't have any insight, but I can't see any other alternative. It's been enough time for the next game. My only worry, my stance is I think we would see Horizon 6 at the summer game showcase for a release at the end of the year. And my worry is that it's not in Japan, but where there's smoke, there's fire. I think Japan was being planned when we finally got the announcement or the leaks about Mexico a few years ago. So yes, Matt, I think it's inevitable at this point for Horizon 6 to be announced.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. Most likely. Highlander 001, thank you very much for the 5, he says. My sons play COD. Buying 4 copies of COD is expensive, and it will now be in Game Pass and save me money. I just wish there was a family plan. Yeah, what is going on with the family plan, man? That was announced a while ago, and we haven't heard anything about it since. I know you can't answer this.
I think they just scrapped it.
You think so?
I think they scrapped it. I think they had plans to do a family plan, and they're doing nothing about it. And
let me guess.
I feel like do you think... have this memory that Phil Spencer said, we're working on it or it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, that's in my memory. Help me out, chat, if you know better than I do. But I feel like it's something they already teased and we still haven't seen it. And
do you think this could be something that they may have scrapped due to just lack of getting subscribers for Game Pass?
Maybe, but maybe they did something that was sort of an interim to a family share plan. that was kind of like a step in that right direction. So maybe the family share plan was a rumor that was tied into what we actually got last year. So
yeah,
I mean, to share your Game Pass with five other accounts or consoles could really hurt Game Pass at this point, since it's been slow to grow. But that will change. The growth will change. It's changing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. THX1138, thank you for the $1.99. He says, with Ubisoft, wait 2 months, the game will drop 90%. Yeah, and sometimes they do drop a lot in just a few months. Bounty, member for 1 month, says, it will never end. Final Fantasy VII have three DLC that is $70 a piece. As long as we buy, it will keep. Yeah, of course, yeah. They'll keep doing it, especially if the game is single player. Yeah, of course. Of course, we are our own worst enemies when it comes to that, right? Consumers. If we keep buying stuff, it's supply and demand. It's, you know, it's the way it is. And these companies know how to... It's the attacking of certain things, like the FOMO that some people have, a lot of people have, that they know in this industry. They know that consumers will go, man, I can't wait to play that game. Oh, and I can play it 3 days early. Man, I got to buy that $130 edition just for that alone. They know this, and it sucks. That's what I don't like about it. I see a lot of you in the chat saying, it's not a scam, it's just options. It can still be a scummy option, in my opinion. It could still be a bad thing, because they're playing on people's freaking emotions when it comes to this stuff. They know people will freaking buy it. I mean, they've got people coming in. I've read articles, Colt, where they've talked about bringing people in, like psychologists and stuff, to figure out how to get into the minds of the consumer,
mm-hmm.
and how to play on stuff like FOMO. This is what they do. These big companies hire people.
It's very crucial
to them. Yeah.
Bungie did it to get, they brought in a team that figured out how to give people just enough that it was like, they understand how gambling addiction works. Give them just enough to keep them coming back, and not give them enough to say, all right, that was great, I'm done. And I noticed that really early on when I played Destiny. I'm like, there's no payout for all the work I'm doing playing the game. And I left. I was done.
Nerds and Other Legends in the chat says, FOMO is just a younger man's problem. I disagree. I wholeheartedly disagree. Because there are certain things that in life where I don't want to wait for it, you know. And I'm sure that it's the same way with you, Colt. I'm sure it's the same way.
I'm getting better at it, honestly. I'm getting better. Yeah. I went to a concert the other night, and we were walking through. No, I didn't buy a t-shirt.
Good for you.
And we thought we could hear the band starting, and my brother started like hurrying up his pace, and I thought, we're not going to miss anything. But like 10 years ago, I'd have been like, oh, I can't miss a moment. And we got there and they weren't even ready. So I don't know. I'm working on the FOMO thing. And Meg and I talk about it a lot, because he tries to fight the FOMO too. He doesn't want to fall prey to it. Because a really good mentality would be to wait a year to play everything. Because then you get the game when it's patched. It's like half the price, if not even cheaper. But I don't want to wait that long.
Yeah. See, I
don't want to wait a year.
These people in the chat, a lot of people, I'm 50 and I get FOMO. We all get some FOMO. Like, a lot of people still get FOMO. Yeah. It's a real thing, and it's not, you know, just allocated to a young man or a young woman. Us old guys, we get FOMO, damn it. We get FOMO on certain things. EA Play price increases, Colt. EA Play Standard will now increase from $3.99 to $5.99 per month. And you've got the cost.
$4?
That is the base, the standard, the one that doesn't have all the new games.
I mean, it's been included with Game Pass for so long.
The other the EA Play Pro, will now rise from $14.99 a month to $16.99 a month. So they're getting an increase there of a couple of bucks, kind of the same way Game Pass did just a few months back. It's you know, it's not really a big topic because this is the way these subservices are going to be. They're going to increase their price every now and then. It's just, it's the way it is, man, with the inflation, the way it is and everything, this is going to be something that's normal. We all expect this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like a huge topic there. Just wanted to point that out. So if you're a EA Play user, subscriber, your prices are about to go up. How do you guys feel about it in chat? Let me know. Are you okay with your subservices going up? By the way, the other poll that I had here, 63% say no, they don't mind paying for early access to a game, which is shocking to me. That's a lot.
Oh, yeah, I didn't look at that.
And see, and here lies the problem.
Or Fonz, it doesn't bother them that people have that option. That could be also how they answer it.
True, but they don't look at this practice as being bad in general. So
I don't either.
It's yeah. I don't see.
Sorry,
I don't agree. Yeah, Colt. You know, you're not my friend anymore. We're done.
If it could be a problem with like Call of Duty or a game where you play against each other, where people pay extra money and they get a weak jump on learning the maps and getting their chops up. And then by the time the game comes out for you and you finally sit down and play it after you're done with work for the week, you're getting, you know, smoked in the lobbies. That can suck, but... And I don't think they keep the early access to just single-player games, so...
Somebody said, Fonz, the poll was phrased weirdly. I voted wrong. I thought it was voted...
Just paying for early access... No, it's not.
It's I mean, the way I meant. Does it bother?
Yeah, I mean, it's just... Yeah, does it bother you?
It bothers me.
I can see how... Does it bother you if you pay for it, or...
It bothers me in general, so that's why I put it that way. So, THX1138, thank you for the $1.99. He says, FOMO is for disposable income. You broke, you wait. That's unfair, man. That's unfair.
Well, I mean, gaming is a hobby and a luxury.
It's selfish, I know, and it's also expensive, but...
How about the guy who buys really nice golf clubs? I can't stand golf. You know, buys really nice gear to play in a sport because he makes more money than you. And then you get out there and he can hit the ball farther or do whatever better because he has more expensive gear. I don't know. Make of it what you can. But
how about the guy that buys a $40 steak while you're eating McDonald's? No, let's not do food analogies. It's not. Gosh.
Hey, sometimes I'd rather have McDonald's than a $40 steak, Fonz.
Yeah,
that's all right.
The prices here in California, since they upped the fast food workers' minimum wage to like $20. Everything's gone up. McDonald's is expensive. You could sit down in a restaurant out here for the same price as McDonald's. That's crazy. That's crazy. But that's the way it is in the Bay. Anyways, enough politics there. Let's move on. Let's talk about something fun, people. Let's talk about something positive this time. See, this is what we're going to end with, positivity. Because that's the best way to end a show. Uplifting positivity. Fallout. The Fallout games seem to be getting a resurgence of players, again, due to the successful Fallout TV show, currently available on Amazon Prime, which, by the way, Colt, I'm 3 episodes in. I'm on the 4th, and I'm loving this show. I think they've done a fantastic job at recreating the Fallout world and keeping all the nuances to the from the games, implementing them into the show. What say you? Do you like it?
Love it. Love it. Finished it last night. And I just love how... We won't say anything on about the show no for spoilers. You guys. Because we know that nobody's finished it or you know, a lot of people haven't even really started it, right? So, but I just love how the creators didn't say, this is what we think a Pip-Boy should look like. This is what we think the vault should look like. And if you've seen the promos or the trailer, you know... You feel like you're in Fallout 4. Like, you feel like you're... Like, It's like they sent them the game and all the assets and said, here's what everything looks like. And they'll pick up something in, I want to mention something. They'll just pick up something in the world and I'll go, oh my gosh, just like the, I'm sitting right here watching the show and I'm like, oh my gosh, just like the game. That is like when I saw Cortana from the Halo show last year, I'm like, what? Yeah. What? I don't know, Cortana's kind of changed over the years, but I'm like, you have like five different versions to what? Like that doesn't even look like, that doesn't look like a Cortana to me. I don't know what it is. And I just love how everything just feels like, I think it's so great. And Todd Howard's the executive producer, so he like oversees a little bit of that. Emil, I'll butcher his name, the head writer from Starfield. You know what I'm talking about. He's like on the panel as well and help with the writing. It's just great. And as a Fallout fan, I am so happy. It's just such a joy to watch.
You and I are big Fallout fans. It's no secret. We've talked about it for years on RDX, our love for Bethesda, the Fallout franchise, the Elder Scrolls franchise, but specifically Fallout for us. We've talked about it a lot. You and I love New Vegas. I mean, look at your wall. Fallout New Vegas right back there. One of the greatest RPGs ever, in my opinion.
Facts.
I freaking love that, not only the stuff that they put in the world that's from the game, but it's also the things like the satirical, like political stuff, and like you get that
the tone
humor that is, I mean, and cheese, there's some cheese in there, but that's all in the games. That stuff is in there.
Brutal, gross, disgusting violence.
Yep.
Juxtaposed with that whimsical, charming music.
I love that in you slow use motion. The word juxtaposed. Wow.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it.
It. Yeah. Honestly, I haven't liked a TV show this much in a long time. I think they nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. And the people in the chat are really loving the show too. Look, the one little controversy that we saw Colt on Twitter, like there was these weirdos trying to say like, oh, the girl's not hot enough in the show to be on this show and be the main character. I'm like, just stop. We don't need to bring this weird incel like behavior, because at the end of the day, I think she's a beautiful woman. And I think
her eyes are too big. Some guy goes, I think he was just kind of messing with me to be fun. But he's like, why are her eyes so big? I'm like, I don't know, genetics.
Maybe she's an alien hybrid. Who knows? Find out on my new show, This Mysterious World. We'll talk all about it next Wednesday. But seriously, no, I find this show to be just so enjoyable. My wife too. Me and my wife have both been watching it together. That's why we're kind of slowly watching it, because we're trying to find time together to sit down and watch.
We got pizza away from last the kiddos, night. She goes, I don't want to watch it while we eat. There's too much gross stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Done eating, turn it on.
Yeah, well, with my kid, with my 9-year-old, I can't watch it in front of her. There's just too much. But I love it. I think it's fantastic. But the fact that it's also got people playing Fallout games, some new to the franchise, some that have played all these games and are replaying them, it's an awesome thing. I think it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, 200% boost in player engagement on Fallout across platforms. So yeah, really good.
Oh, by the way, William Lewis, thank you for the $1.99. He says Prime Gaming is giving Fallout 76 free for Xbox and PC.
Yeah, I probably have a code on our account somewhere. I'll look it up and give it away tomorrow on the show.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Please, 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 audience, please give Fallout 76 a shot right now. Here's my testimonial. I hated the game all the way up until last summer. I played over and over. I said this on a bunch of times on my shows. Like about once a year, I'd be like, oh, come on, I'll give it one more shot. And I would install it. I hate it. Hated it. Men on Films. Hated it. And then that's Living Color. Amazing stuff.
Yep. I remember.
Freaking the game won me over the summer of 23, right before Starfield. And I don't know, 100 hours I put in like in a month. It was psychotic. The game's so good. Trust me, Fallout 76, once you learn how you have to figure out how you deal with your inventory, it's a little bit different. Oh, it's so great. And shout out to Red Wolf, who's in the chat. Red Wolf and I have played the game like 20 hours together online. He showed me a bunch of stuff. Dante Moody, who's also Spriggan on chats, and he's on podcasts. he showed me how to play the game, and Holly as well. So yeah, that sorry, Fonz, I just had to say that. That was my PSA.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
I want you to try it, Fonz.
No.
How? Come on now, bro.
I don't know about
you
that.
You can build in it. You can build.
Yeah, I know. You know what? I might try it because I do like
Fallout. When you finish the show, I want you to install the game.
Yeah.
And if you want to install on PC, I have a character I started on PC as well. I'll show you how to play the game. We'll spend one night playing it, and then we'll see if you like it or not. Can you at least promise me you'll try one night? Chat?
So Dorian Gray, I saw your, he said in the chat, he said that, you know, we need to stop calling people incels with opinions. At the end of the day, opinions like this are just not necessary at all. It makes no sense. It doesn't lend anything to the show.
Oh, I mean, you were calling someone an incel for, you know, knocking a female for how she looks.
Exactly.
That's incel behavior.
That's incel behavior 101. Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't. Yeah, it's weird. I mean, you could say it in a way. I'm talking about these people are being disrespectful. I can understand if you just say, oh, she's not my cup of tea, but
saying her butt's not big enough, she's not hot enough.
It's weird.
A character.
And meanwhile, these people have anime avatars for their freaking avatar on Twitter, and they probably sleep with a body pillow of an avatar, an anime avatar. So I don't know. Kind of incel behavior to me.
Yeah. I mean, we do try to be fairly respectful when we get into arguments with people, but sometimes it's like, come on now.
It's mean. It's mean-spirited. It doesn't belong in the conversation at all when you're talking about if a show's good or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's weird to me. Anyways, I really do like the show. I like the freaking, I love the games. And it does kind of want me to play, like, I thought about downloading Fallout 3 again, just because I had recently downloaded New Vegas like a couple of years back and started playing through that again, but I haven't played 3 in a long time, like a lot longer than I played any of the others, and I love 3. 3 is a great game, so I've thought about it, but maybe I will go with Fallout 76.
Three's pretty stilted. As much as I love it, it's pretty stiff and stilted. But 4 feels so fluid, and the game looks really, really good.
You
I was playing it on my ROG Ally.
Yeah.
No, not in 4.
No, in 3.
Yeah, in 3.
In 3, you got to rely on VATS a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. VATS, Fallout 4, you've played a ton of 4. You rely on VATS for fun, right? Or in sticky situations. But in Fallout 76, you don't really use VATS. You can. It just doesn't really work the same. So, but the gunplay's great. You get the right weapons. It's chat's like, Fon, just play it. They want you to play it with me. So,
yeah.
We're going to do that, and then you can report back.
I might do
that. Have you played it at all, Fons, before we move on?
No, I haven't.
Discussion.
I have not.
Okay, that 76 I think that'll be a really cool experience. I would love to experience that with you. That would mean a lot to me.
It for me, it was just because it was the whole online co-op experience thing. It just didn't really appeal to me much because I'm more of a single player gamer.
I played most of it solo, bro.
But that's most what I'm hearing from
almost
a lot of
people, all of it
is that you can.
I've been messing around and having fun with friends time to time, but I've loved it solo, and it's just a big, beautiful map. It's great. Yeah, but. We'll experience it. We'll see how you feel one evening playing. We'll give it an hour or two, and then we'll see if it sticks. But that would be an honor for me because there's things I love about that game more than I love about Starfield. So,
yeah.
Well, I'd love to see what you think.
Captain Chats, thank you for the $4.99. He says, playing Fallout 76 for the first time with a mate on Friday. Looking forward to it. Just wish there was crossplay and cross-save. Yeah, me too. I wish there was too, because I would like to play it on the PC myself. And unfortunately, you cannot play with people on Xbox on the PC. So I'm going to have to play it on the Series X to do so with you, Colt.
It's dynamic 4K 60. I played it on both fonts. I couldn't make it look much better on PC.
It's
the game's kind of just does what it does.
It's so funny you brought up the hated it thing from In Living Color, and
yeah,
got so many people talking about In Living Color on the in the chat here. Lotus said
Lotus that it says it's their favorite American comedy series.
Yeah, that's yep. funny. It was great. It was one of the best
right there.
Honestly, I liked that. I liked Mad TV back in the day. I loved SNL back in the late 80s, early 90s. It was really good. But yeah, those were great shows. But now we got this Fallout show now, and I think it's awesome. And I, you know what? And it's not just the gaming community, though. There are so many people out there that are loving this Fallout show that don't play games and don't know anything about the games. So
I think it's the right move is to have a kick butt show that brings in people that don't know anything about Fallout. They fall in love with the world. And if they occasionally game, they're going to go buy Fallout. And then we're seeing that. And we're seeing people go back and pick up the games. Oh no, it's Alex bought like the whole series. Somebody else bought the whole series for $27 on Steam. Infinite Umbra did. Yeah. He said the whole series from one all the way up to now. Is
do you know what got in my head?
Fods don't play that. Boba Fett said
it just made me laugh. Handyman from In Living Color. You couldn't do certain skits today. That show would not fly today. It just wouldn't.
No,
there's too much going on.
One of my favorite skits on In Living Color was when Jim Carrey. There'd be like a sports interview going, and he would walk by and see the camera, and then he'd come back.
Yeah,
and every time he came back into the back of the camera, he would do more and more crazy stuff. And like those are Fire Marshal Bill. Those are good stuff.
Yeah, they had a lot of great skits, man. Gosh, and their fake commercials and stuff they would do. Oh, man, they made me laugh. Just totally inappropriate to talk about here, though. Face23BKNY, thank you for the $1.99. He says, Colt, when the next Power Talk video coming?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When's the next Power Talk video? When are you going to talk power again?
Friday? I think Friday was. I already put one out on Friday.
Oh, go watch it, Face. Power Talk video. The narrative is out there.
The best thing about Power Talk is that PC will rule all. PC will always rule all.
Yeah.
And with Xbox, you have more choice than any other platform. You can play however you want. You can play on a phone. You can play on a laptop. You can play on a TV. You can play on a computer. As powerful or as weak as you like. Or you can play on a console for dirt cheap. You get whatever you want. Hi, I'm Colt Eastwood. Yeah, that's how it is.
Jamie Foxx's Wanda was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing stuff. And yeah, the musical parodies were great too. You had Jim Carrey as like Vanilla Ice and stuff. It was funny. God, what a great show, man. Yeah. It was a good show. Anyways, Colt, that's all I've got for topics today. So I think we are pretty much done here. I know we started off very rocky today, and I apologize for that.
That wasn't too bad. They forgive you. You forgive Fonz, right? Yeah,
you know, I shut the show down a little bit too early, like 15 seconds in. But no, Dorian Gray's all yelling, 4090 gang! Yeah. Don't do that too loud, because people won't believe you. They'll be like, sure, you got a 4090.
Prove it, bro. Prove it. I only have a 3080.
You got a 15.
I have a 3080. That's it.
Whatever. Yeah. Dude, a 3080 card is still a really good card. Like, honestly, it's a great card.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not as much as quick to get upset about the 30 frames discussion anymore. I kind of had some clarity over. 60,
yeah. You can play on the PC if you want.
Well, I mean, I can. You know, I don't have a killer PC, but I'm pretty sure I'll be able to make concessions and make Hellblade run at 60. Or I'll just play it on an Xbox at 30 the way it looks in the trailers. The funny thing is I've kind of changed my outrage about some certain things that we used to get upset about. When I look at games, like most of these games get shown at 30 frames in all the trailers. And everyone's like, oh, it looks so amazing. Grand Theft Auto. Marvel's 1943, Hellblade. There's another one. There's another game that's coming out that's going to be probably a graphic powerhouse. And like some of these games in the future will be 30 FPS only on the new consoles, even on the PS5 Pro, as Digital Foundry explains. And like the reality is sometimes I have to go, you know, am I going to fight for everybody when it seems like the majority of our audience or the people in my comment sections are like, I don't care. I just want the game to be good. And if 60 is really super important to you and you don't have the choice, it's been a tough argument for you because devs need to be able to give that choice back to us as console owners. I think, honestly, Fonz, I think they should start shipping PC versions of games on the Xbox console and say, look, you're getting the same version. Sorry, but you have 25 things to go through to get the game the way you want it to look. I'm tired of the console saying, this is all you get. Bought a console, you get no choice.
Or 30 frames, yeah. Quality or performance, that's basically it. But for years, a lot of guys would argue in the console space that they don't want all those choices because they don't want to tinker. Remember that?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Well, here's the thing. Most modern games, and you know this, Fonz, because you've been on PC a lot lately. Most modern games, there's occasional ones that won't. But most modern games will launch and say something like, we've detected your hardware. We've set your game at high quality.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Or Ultra, for what, for your PC.
If you use my PC, the NVIDIA experience, that's what it does.
You can use that too, but most of the stuff is set automatically. I install a game on Steam. It says, we detected your hardware. We set your game to high quality. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, I load it up. If something's not the way I want, I go and change a couple things. But if developers can get away from this and just start saying, look, just set it to auto detect the hardware. Just set it as a PS5 profile. Set it as an Xbox X profile. Set it as an S profile. And when the game launches on your console, in the background it says, oh, it's in Series X. So set it on medium and high quality setting. And then it's done. You don't have to change anything. But
I think with the advancements of AI and, you know, all this frame generation stuff and everything coming along, in the consoles, it's going to be a problem of the past when it comes to not having 60 frames. I think it's going to help out immensely. Next generation, this generation, not so much, because you can only do so much with the current console CPU. So
I mean, look at Final Fantasy Rebirth, where Digital Foundry says you should play it in 30 FPS mode because of how bad it looks in performance and it doesn't hold. And then Dragon's Dogma does not run at 60 on the consoles, right? So the developers are running out of what they can do with the hardware. And until we get the next thing that kind of makes that better for us. And I talk about that in my video that Phase 23 didn't watch, is that they'll be the frame generation, the up-res, like even Digital Foundry doesn't really talk about resolution anymore. Like they used to.
Yeah, but they also mentioned many times that the current CPU, even going into the PS4 Pro or PS5 Pro, it's not enough of an upgrade to really push these games from 30 to 60, even with frame generation. Because they'll even snicker when they talk about frame generation. And I'm just like,
sure.
It's funny.
But, you know, we're still early days. The FSR 1.0 and 2.0 were only like last year on PC or the year before. So funny, in my video I made a joke. I talked about AI. I said AI's come a long way from last year, and I showed the clip of Gaz and I laughing our heads off at my Joanna Dark render from Midjourney. You couldn't even tell what it was. It looked like some alien mannequin body. And then I kid you not, Fonz, a year later I can write the same description and get a freaking cover quality image of Joanna Dark for Perfect Dark. Like, it looks like somebody painted it. So things come a long way really fast. In your chat, who was this? Where is it? Something's Burning says, Digital Foundry's not God. Yeah, and God doesn't care about resolution and pixels, but Digital Foundry's made up of a bunch of tech and hardware and software experts that all come together and try to give us their best explanation to lay people like us how things are running or what the software and hardware could do. And, you know, they get things mostly right. And with a track record like Digital Foundry, I tend to take them at as an authority when it comes to talking about how games are going to run now and in the future. So yeah, Digital Foundry's great. I have big respect for him.
Yeah, me too. BT Maverick 707, thank you for the five. He says, be cool if Bethesda can do RTX remix style of update for the Fallout, like they've done with Portal, where it brings in new textures, ray tracing.
Have you seen the Portal 2 with ray tracing?
No, I haven't. So
just the lighting alone, Fonz, makes that game look like it came out yesterday. Just that's by cool. making that soft cast shadow reflective lighting, this the way that light those you know pours into an area and sits there.
Big things for games, yeah. Lighting is huge.
Lighting is one of the reasons why games look like video games, and why I say Hellblade looks like the real deal, looks like a movie.
Yeah, it's like when you turn on path tracing for Cyberpunk, it just changes the way the game looks. It's mm-hmm. so much better. Danny Passion Official, thank you for the five. He says, I'm happy that developers aren't holding back games. The correct consoles are already old. Oh, the current consoles, I think he meant to say, are already old. People need to accept it, he says. Well, it's a hard accept, right? It's hard for a lot of people to just say, I paid $500 for this box, even this year, because a lot of people are buying them now. And it's hard for them to think, well, we just currently got next gen games. Just last year was the start of this gen. Like before that, it was all like cross generational games. So it's kind of hard for a lot of people to accept that the hardware is old. It is factually old. I mean, the CPUs in these machines aren't that great in terms of today's standards, like with today's computers and stuff, but they're still good. They're decent for the price. And like, that's why I don't sit there and like really talk crap about these consoles, because like some people will, even though I have a beefy computer, I don't sit there and just say, oh, I'm PCMR, F your consoles. Like I understand you do sometimes, they have their place.
But just joking to us.
Yeah. with you or whatever, I'm joking. But when I'm talking to like, my chat and stuff, these consoles have their place. I mean, they're only $500 compared to machines that you paid over $2,000 for yours, and mm-hmm. it's just like, you can't compare the two. You just can't.
I mean, yeah. And I, the reason why I don't get so upset about the 60 frames argument as much as I did, like just a few months ago, is that five games out of some 4,000 games. No, let me try and be fair. Five games out of like 500 prominent games since these new consoles launched are 60 frames, right? Yeah. Are not only 30 frames, right? You know what I mean? And when you look at how these games look compared to PC for $500, it's actually pretty amazing the value you get out of a console when a game looks that good, still runs at 60 or pretty close, right?
But let's be honest. So, we were spoiled before this gen even started with the 1X.
Oh, yeah.
The graphics on the 1X looked incredible. And then we came into X. Coming into this generation, it was kind of lackluster because we were already getting that fidelity with the 1X. That's what was sad about this.
Yeah.
Like, thinking back, it was like, man, should they have released that 1X? Because it really did kind of kill some of that wow factor going into this gen.
Because I was really killed the wow factor for Series X for sure.
Yeah, because I was blown away with like Red Dead Redemption 2 on the 1X, blown away by it.
And it was 30 frames.
But
yeah, but remember we played Far Cry 6 and we're like, man, it looks really good and it runs 60. Like we're in for a treat for the generation, and we really were for the next 2 years. And then we got to Starfield and.
Well, that's why I always say on this show, I always say I would take cross-generational games, that fidelity with 60 frames over trying to push ray tracing and everything else with the current games at 30. I'm sorry, but I think something like an Assassin's Creed Odyssey, to me, looks fantastic and plays fantastic on Series X hardware. Whereas, playing a game that just came out like Dragon's Dogma 2, on Series X hardware at 30 frames is not as good to me because I want those frames.
It's really rough, but I'm still enjoying Dragon's Dogma 2, but every like half an hour, I'm like, oh, I wish it was 60 because it's so hard to see all when the lightning comes down, you're swinging and there's like the particle effects. When you're at 30, losing half of that information every other millisecond, it really adds up. Yeah. It really does. It's too bad.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's okay.
ADM with the $2 says, Colt, you Satanist. Whatever. Blah, blah, blah. Xbox for the win. Okay.
I love you, Xbox, for the win. Okay.
What?
That's awesome. I can't tell.
Is that what he's saying?
Just the Starfield icon, or if it's the embroidered version. It looks like it's embroidered, but we don't get to see it that big. But
yeah,
I love that in Starfield, how all the little badges you unlock are embroidered.
People hate when I say, oh, I would take the cross-generational games on this hardware with the 60 frames. I'm sorry, I would. I mean,
I'm with you half on that, because we did love those games we played the first couple of years. They
looked amazing and played amazing on this hardware.
But we want that.
Look at all the PlayStation games on the PlayStation 5. They looked and played amazing. You know, like God of War, Spider-Man, all those games.
Yeah.
Days Gone. Yeah. They looked amazing on that hardware and played at 60 frames. I don't know. I loved it. What's up, Red Wolf? I see you in the chat.
He says, I love that for you, ADM. That's what we say all the time. I love that for you, or I hate that for you.
Yeah. ADM's a good guy. Good person.
Yeah.
He's for real.
We don't know ADM. We don't know who ADM is, but we know that ADM's here.
Yeah. Look, and he's got a Starfield avatar. At least it's.
I know. I think it's the embroidered one, which makes it even better.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to his channel. Starfield was great because it'll be bigger.
I don't care what people say.
It is the embroidered one.
I had a great time with Starfield.
I'm sorry. I just had to geek out that ADM's icon is like an embroidered patch, like a photo of one. I love it.
Oh, man. I want that. Thing is massively huge.
Yeah. Massively. All right. Well, we're going to get out of here because it's just going to be silly talk from here on out.
Saw the replay of me doing the devil's horns. You can't do that.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us today. Thank you, Colt, for filling in for Hargeet Chani, who couldn't be here with us today. Of course, he was abducted by aliens, and we will have the full story on this mysterious world next Wednesday.
When do you start your new show?
24th.
Mr. Fonz.
The 24th. That's next Wednesday.
In 10 days.
Not this coming Wednesday.
Next. Are you going to do a countdown like Gaz did?
No. Come on. I'm not as cringe as Gaz. Hey, guys, prepare. Prepare for it. It's coming.
Prepare thine anus.
No. No, but we will. Shout out to Gaz. Love Gaz. But yeah, we'll have the full story on
but
what
not
happened
Zucker.
To Hargeet Chani and what they did to him with the probes. Not good, people. Not good.
All right. Boba Fett says, see you, fly girls.
Fly girls. Hey, that's where Jennifer Lopez got her start. She was a fly girl in Living Color.
Hey, where did Paula Abdul get her start?
A Lakers cheerleader.
Yep, that's right.
Yep.
Now you know.
Yeah, now you know.
For all your 80s trivia, you can count on Colt Eastwood and Jay Fonzarelli here on GameStock Live.
We're here for you. What else do you need
at
to know,
WKRP Colt? In Cincinnati.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. See, Colt, where can they find you? What are you working on next?
I need to get up the energy. I'll be making an Elder Scrolls video today. I just did Fallout 1 yesterday or for today. So yeah, I think I'm going to be doing that. And then I've got my podcast tomorrow. So,
Mag be present tomorrow? Will he be there?
That's funny you asked that. He's not going to be here.
Look at that.
So, yeah.
So, okay. Okay.
And he's really mad because he's like, we were going to talk Fallout TV. And I said, well, next week, everyone will probably finish the show and we can be a little more open about what we talk about.
Well, we can't leave. We got another question.
We can't.
Face 23 BKNY with a 1999 super chat. He says,
outstanding.
So at Fonz and at Colt, what are you expecting out of the PS5 Pro since it's new coming out this year? I'm expecting some great looking games coming from that machine. I think Cerny is a genius when it comes to creating consoles. I think what he gets out of those consoles is fantastic. Look what he's done with the PS5. It's great. Do I feel like it's going to change these frame rates from like 30 frames to 60 frames in games that can't hit those 60 frames now? No, I don't. I think, but they're going to have some great looking games. They're going to add in way more ray tracing, like real ray tracing stuff, not just shadows and things. And I think you're going to see just that fidelity look a bit better for PlayStation. But for their games,
also,
here's the thing. I will say this, though. Yeah. I have to say, their games that they build, I still think they'll do the whole performance mode and everything that they do now. They'll have that 60 frames. But I don't see...
Oh, their games, you're saying?
Games.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, the first-party games. But when it comes to a third-party game, like, say, a Dragon's Dogma or something, I don't think those are hitting 60 on the PS5 Pro even. I don't expect things like that.
You can expect a 10% boost, so whatever 10% of
10%.
The 35 or 40 FPS that we're getting now, yeah, of course. Also, yeah. I don't expect that thing to launch with any games. It's going to launch with a new Astrobot and maybe Concord.
Doing
graces, OMG, about except for
a hamburger in space.
Doing graces, who cares? 10%.
Face cares. That's why he asked. I'm here for face 23 BKNY.
If you bought a $500 PS5 and you're going to turn around and buy a $600 PS5 Pro, should have bought a PC. I'm just kidding. I hate when people say that.
Yeah, sure.
But it is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money to be spending, but if you have it, hey, like somebody said earlier, if you don't have it, you broke. So I guess I'm broke.
Rich man's FOMO, bro.
But yeah, I expect the games to look awesome on their face. I really do.
Face, we've been talking about your super chat for the past 8 minutes.
Yeah, I just read it.
Outstanding. Oh, he couldn't hear you because you were doing the booming whisper. Probably couldn't hear it.
Okay. I need you to do that for my new show.
What? That guitar sound?
Yeah. It sounds like a UFO flying away in the 70s.
Or.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. With that, I want to say good night, everyone. Thank you for being here. You guys have all been very awesome. Thank you.
Hold on. Face says, Fonz, you ain't read my super chat.
I know.
Let me read that,
but we go ahead. Read it.
Let me read it.
Read it.
So at Fonz and Cole, what are you expecting out of the PS5 Pro since it's new coming out this year? Thanks, guys. It's been a good show.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Press rewind. Go
press
back.
Press X to be bored.
Like 5 minutes and you can.
Remember when our bro used to say that? Press X to be bored.
Oh, dude. Dealer used to always say, press X to be bored. Yeah. But guess what? Thank you for being here, everybody. I don't even know how to end the show now. I don't get it.
Oh, tell me what game. Ask me what game I'm going to be playing.
Yeah, what game are you going to be playing besides Fallout?
What? Come on now. Okay, Fallout 76, Fallout 4 in survival mode, even though the patch isn't out yet. Elder Scrolls Online. Fonz, what are you going to be playing while we say goodbye to these great people? Hit the like button.
I'm going to be playing probably Fallout 76 with you, sir. And with that said,
appreciate the time, but before I go, I just want to say to the Xbox fans, all your games are belong to us. Sayonara, suckers.